This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by my wonderful team of...
Arvind Yuvraj.
I'm Christine Wong.
We are with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this evening. We do have a question for you, but before we get to that, Arv is going to give us a quick update from Bursa at break.
Yeah, so it is up by 0.11% at 1,508 points. Active stocks by volume include MQ Technology Berhad, Key Alliance Group Berhad, and K1 Technology Berhad. A quick look at the ringgit. It is at 4.2 against the US dollar. It is at 2.9 against the Aussie dollar and 3.06 against the Sing dollar.
There you go, folks. The question, of course, that we are asking is whether or not you have a plan at work in case either you or your co-workers get sick. The number, as you know by now, 018-789-8899. If you want to get us on Twitter or Instagram, very simple, at BFM Radio. Chris, do we have any updates over on Instagram?
Just a poll update. We have the yes percentage at 35 and the no percentage at 65.
Any update over on Twitter?
Yeah, we have a message from Sheng who says, my workplace is so lean that if one coworker is absent for a substantial amount of time, it's Armageddon.
Oh, wow. Armageddon, very difficult to deal with, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Back to Maggie Best, who sent in another message via WhatsApp. She said, actually, the culture in my former employer's company required every department and staff to work out specific backup responsibilities, synchronizing with the scheduling of the staff's annual leave for routine aspects of our jobs. In each department, we had sub-teams to handle emergencies like sudden illnesses or accidents. The supervisors were to ensure fair distribution of work without overloading it, and the Jack or Jill of all trades. So COVID or whatever, big or small disasters, have been provided for. The whole Jack of all trade thing is interesting, Maggie, and that's something I think we're going to be talking about tomorrow, about how no specific skill will get you ahead in the future, but a way of thinking will. That's going to be our discussion tomorrow. So thanks for kind of prompting us about that. We have another story, of course, though. Chris, this is something that has interested me, and I had no idea what it was until you introduced it to me earlier today.
Yes. Okay. If you take a deep breath and you hold it, you can't really hold it for that long. You know, maybe 30 seconds or even a few minutes until it gets severely uncomfortable. We all eventually need to exhale. So if you think of your work ethic as the inhale, which it is in a way, as essential to your career as air is to your body, with a good work ethic, we can make, execute, coordinate, manage, fulfill, and get things done. So making a task list is inhale. Project execution, inhale. Making ideas come to life, inhale. But we can't keep inhaling forever. Eventually, we have to exhale. And exhaling is your rest ethic, which is just as essential. So how do you create a rest ethic? So according to the ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle, rest is not just relaxation. Normally, relaxation is sort of ramping up for getting more work done. Mm-hmm. So true rest, what Aristotle called noble leisure, is defined entirely in itself and is the highest thing humans can aspire to because it fills our life with meaning. And it may sound counterintuitive, but good rest is often very active, and it can usually be found in doing passion projects, as those activities tend to get us into flow states, which are moments where we're so absorbed in what we're doing that we like lose ourselves in them. And good rest requires full detachment from work and our often frantic and anxious mind, which flow states help us to achieve. So how do you find an activity that creates a flow state? First of all, we all need to step away from the guilt we associate with not working or participating in visible busyness. I think we're all guilty of, you know, that feeling of needing to seem busy so others can feel like we're getting good work done. You have to remind yourself that not only do we need rest, it's also the best way to stay productive and creative. You can't inhale deeply if you never exhale properly, right? So, you know, treat whatever project you have as like investing in incubation time within your creative process. Also, if you do take a day off, resist the urge to check in with work on that day off. Use your time off work to check in with yourself. You know, we often don't realize how busy and anxious we are until we take some time to reflect. And if you need some inspiration with where to start, just ask yourself, what or who gives you the most sense of meaning in your life? And are you giving the things you care about the most the time that they deserve? Another way to sort of maintain your rest ethic is to try what they're calling a tech Shabbat, which is an idea inspired by Tiffany Schlein, who is the author of 24-6, The Power of Unplugging One Day a Week. So basically, you should do this like on a weekly basis for 24 hours, switch off all screens and connected devices. If 24 hours seems too daunting, which it does for me personally.
Yeah, I echo that.
Yeah, you could always start smaller and try an afternoon or a morning. A sort of related experiment is a no chronos day. A lot of Greek stuff today, which I love. But the ancient Greeks had two different concepts of time. So there's kairos and chronos. So chronos is the time we're all familiar with. Minutes, seconds, Google calendar invites, alarm clocks. Kairos is the quality of time. So it's the time you experience during flow states or the time you spend with your loved ones. You know, it's also those light bulb moments where you have a breakthrough, you know, in the shower or on a walk. We don't know when kairos will manifest, but being too rigid with your chronos time may leave you blind to seeing when it's right there in front of you. So the chronos experiment is for one day. Try to intentionally ban chronos, or like quantity of time, from your mind by not paying attention to your watches or clocks and invite kairos into your life instead. Basically, whatever you end up doing on your day off, try not to focus on work, try not to go back to work, and try not to feel guilty about it, and try to find something that, you know, fills your life with meaning so you can get into that flow state and rest.
I love this.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say. Yeah.
You first. Do you want to go first?
No, go on. Go ahead.
Okay, so, and here's the thing that I struggle with, right? I love the idea of just switching off for a day, but I would have difficulty with that, not just because I can't necessarily switch off, but I feel as though people who can get in contact with me regarding work also don't fall into the same category of understanding that there's potentially two types of time.
Yeah.
My time and their time, or my time and, you know. And so...
Kairos and Chronos.
Yeah, Kairos and Chronos. So over the weekend, you know, there was time... I specifically set apart time for myself to do things that I really needed to do mentally and to help clear up some stuff and tidy my house and, you know, just make me feel better about the space that I'm in. But during that period of me doing that, there was this nagging sensation in the back of my brain of like, I'm going to get a phone call, or I'm going to get a message, or I'm going to get an email any minute now. And this state that I've managed to kind of almost put myself into is going to be disturbed by that. And then it's going to have difficulty in me getting back into that state. I'm going to get frustrated and I'm going to get angry. And how do I deal with that, though?
Airplane mode.
That's true.
Honestly, no.
but if this is stuff you have to do for a deadline, you can't do that, can you?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I think, you know, trying to manage deadlines and also getting this sort of rest in is a bit of a balancing act. But honestly, like, I've started to just take like an hour or two to just walk like up and down the hallway outside my apartment, and I switch like to airplane mode, and I just put on like a podcast or some music, and I just like get some steps in, and also just don't reply to stuff.
Yeah.
And I found that really helps. I mean, I hate exercise, honestly, but, you know, it's the only way that I can really, you know, take the time to not stare at a screen for like a couple of hours, and that's been super helpful.
Yeah.
I also don't, I love this because I personally cannot understand, and I have friends who do this, who revolve around work 100%. It's not about having hobbies. It's not about having time to do hobbies. It's about just being able to focus on anything else. And I've seen people who focus 100% on, at 99.9% on work, that they're so burnt out that there's no time to focus on other things, or just to take time to de-stress, or to use their time for anything else. And I love this because it sort of says that you kind of have to.
You have to.
You need it.
To be good at your job.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to fall apart in like both sections, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I previously, I have experienced, you know, extreme burnout where it's a case of having to work 12 hours a day for 7 days a week for an extended period of time. And in that kind of, when you get into that state for a while, like your friends are, you're kind of happy in that bubble for a little while, you know, because it becomes everything. And so you're not worrying about the stress of work because it's all work. So any kind of contact and conversation isn't stressing you out.
Yeah.
But it's only when you realize how it affects you mentally, and that takes some time for it to kind of catch up with you. And that when it does catch up with you mentally, it affects you physically. You know, and when you have that physical kind of whack across the face or whatever it is, that's when you suddenly go, hang on a minute, what have I been doing wrong? you know, and how do I need to adjust and change things? And the very fact that it takes something physical to make you understand that,
yep.
that's a worrying thing.
Yeah, you know what the feeling is like? You know when you finished all the work on your to-do list, but then you cannot relax because you're in that, the yeah. busyness,
nagging
the nagging feeling is constantly there. So when you sit down to do something else, you're like, no, there's something else that I'm forgetting, but there's nothing you've done. You're done for the day.
Yeah.
But you constantly feel like you need to get back and do something,
yeah.
even though there's nothing.
It's that fight or flight mechanism has been kicked in, isn't it?
And it's not going away.
It's not going away.
You need a passion project then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, Arv, what are you going to do?
Kairos.
Time for a break. We're going to have some music with the You and Me song from the Wannadies. But, of course, the question that we are asking you throughout the remainder of the show, you've got about 20 minutes, 15 or so minutes, actually. Do you have a plan at work in case you or one of your co-workers gets sick? Our Twitter poll so far says that 57% of you, just over, do not have any kind of plan. 42% of you have some kind of plan, and that's almost echoed, if I'm correct, right over on
it
Instagram.
It changed a bit on Instagram because it was 65% no and 35% yes.
Right, okay. Let's take that break. Let's have some music, and when we come back, final story of the day, Arv?
We'll be talking about what you can do to convince your employer if you want to work from home.
There you go. Music then, from the Wannadies, You and Me song here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.